freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo as long as we are led by politicians who will not put America first. Then we can be assured that other nations will not treat America with respect, the respect that we deserve.
And GOP Josh is a young conservative influencer with a lot of power.
You're listening to the voice of the future, fighting for America every day. This is the Conservative Crusader. And here's your host, GOP Josh.
Hello and welcome. This is the Conservative Crusader here at GOPJosh.com. Glad to be with you all today, as always. And special welcome and hello to all of our new listeners from the Madison County, Ohio Republican Women's Club, who I had the distinct honor and privilege of speaking at during their annual dinner organizational meeting last evening. It was a great evening, a great opportunity. Thank you to Central Committee Woman Michelle Anderson for inviting me out. It was a lot of fun. I believe we got a lot of questions answered about youth engagement and actually got the conversation rolling in one of the counties that Turning Point Action is focusing on going into 2024 to make sure we get people out to vote in Madison County. So I'm incredibly glad, incredibly honored to have that opportunity to speak with that organization. And I really appreciate the opportunity. And I hope all of you who are from that organization listening to the program tonight enjoy it. So yeah, welcome in everyone. No program Monday because we were in the Moreno headquarters, the Bernie Moreno for U.S. Senate headquarters, where they had their debate watch party, which was a lot of fun. I made like 60 phone calls, which doesn't sound like a lot, but we had about 30 minutes uninterrupted to do it. So about 30 calls, that's not how that works, about 120 calls an hour estimate. So pretty fun, a lot of fun, and Bernie's events are always good to get along and get to. So our big news for the night, of course, New Hampshire, unsurprising to anyone that pays any attention to anything, went to President Trump. Nikki Haley lost. Also, 75% of Nikki Haley's voters were not Republican. They were independent or they were self-identified Democrats that don't actually align with a party. So story here from the USA Today. Former President Donald Trump defeated former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley in the New Hampshire Republican primary, winning over crucial Granite State voters. The New Hampshire primary has long wielded the power to make or break presidential candidates. On Tuesday, all eyes were on the GOP race that Haley tried to build momentum against Trump with a coalition that included moderate and independent voters. On the Democratic side, President Joe Biden also beat his challengers via a write-in campaign, defeating Dean Phillips and author Marianne Williamson. So interesting story there. A double-digit defeat for Haley. President Trump was winning by 11.3% when 90% of votes were counted. And the take from the Haley campaign has long been, well, we have to win New Hampshire, and if we win New Hampshire, we'll win South Carolina. She's not even on the ballot in Nevada, which is our next upcoming primary. But she's pretty much saying, if we win New Hampshire, we win the nation, we can actually move forward from there and win. That's not the case, folks. If that was the case, she would have won New Hampshire. She has not won New Hampshire. She is now solely running a campaign to try to take down President Trump with no actual meaning or effort or reason or rhyme behind her campaign, just solely for the reason to try to say, I'm taking down President Trump. We are the alternative choice. And they're probably going to try to take it to convention. But I don't think they can ignore how utterly embarrassing it would be for Nikki Haley to get crushed in South Carolina, her home state. She was going and is projected to get crushed in South Carolina. New Hampshire, of the all the earliest states, are the most moderate when it comes to the GOP voting bloc. And even New Hampshire says that they want President Trump 11 points more than they want Nikki Haley. South Carolina is more conservative than Iowa based on the demographics, a larger block of evangelical voters, which President Trump is winning handedly. And it really just shows a path for President Trump and no one else to get the nomination, which I've been saying this since President Trump announced, and I'm going to say that every time we talk about this, that it should not really be at all a serious campaign. We need to take this and go to the national election, go to the general election in November, because Trump's going to be our nominee. He is, and people backing Nikki Haley can see that. People who are backing Ron DeSantis, and we're going to get to him in a minute, can see that there isn't a path for Nikki Haley to get the nomination. Not that there should be, but there's not. Unless they take it to convention and try to steal the nomination just like the Democrats did from Bernie Sanders in 2016. Unless they try to do it that way somehow, they're not going to be successful. And I really think it's hilarious we're still having this conversation after we should have ended this conversation as soon as President Trump announced. And maybe when DeSantis was polling a little higher, that might be something to talk about. The actual live results, let me pull this up here. I think Ryan Binkley might have actually passed Ron DeSantis on the ballot. So they didn't view all candidates here. He did not. So he got 0.1%. Ron DeSantis had 0.7%. Obviously, he dropped out. Chris Christie had 0.4%. Mike Pence had 0.1%. But the top three candidates are Donald Trump with 54%, Nikki Haley with 43%, and Ron DeSantis with less than 1%. We have a one-person race. When you win Iowa, you win New Hampshire, first time someone's won both states since 1976, you are the nominee. You're not going to be able to take this to South Carolina. And I really honestly believe the money's going to dry up before South Carolina. And it's going to be a Trump primary, and it's going to be it. And Haley's not going to have the money to compete. Interesting enough, Perry Johnson got 25 votes. What a guy. But we seriously need to just drop this primary now. Focus on Joe Biden, because every day we focus on Nikki Haley, not only is she ruining her future career, but also we are losing. We are not taking time to defeat Joe Biden, which needs to be our key primary focus. A quick story here. President Trump receives the most votes ever in a New Hampshire primary, according to Rich Barris, who is the People's Pundit. Real Donald Trump has broken the record for most votes ever received in a New Hampshire presidential primary, surpassing the record of 152,193 set by Bernie Sanders in 2016. So he has more votes than Bernie Sanders, and he didn't win the nomination. He probably did, but the superdelegates stole it. At the time of the publication of the post-millennial, President Trump had 152,565. Obviously, he's gotten to 174,000, crushing Bernie Sanders' margin completely out of the water. And President Trump just completely wipes the floor with her. This isn't even a primary anymore. So when we return, we're going to talk about Ron DeSantis finally bowing out because it's long overdue. I missed that Monday because we didn't do a program Monday. Also, Carrie Lake tried to buy Carrie Lake off to not run for Senate. We'll talk about that. Someone very influential. Another state trying to keep Trump off the ballot, and then our Ohio segment, which is going to be huge, talking about the great things Ohio's legislator did today, overriding the DeWine's veto on the transgender youth bill. We're going to talk about that from the left-wing perspective because I have the Ohio Capital Journal. Y'all know I'm big fans of them. And then the Ohio GOP Senate debate recap. Back after this, you're listening to the Conservative Crusader, GOPJosh.com.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader.
Fiverr is the world's largest marketplace for digital services, offers both buyers and sellers a digitally streamlined transactional platform. If you need to buy something, sell something, or whatever you want to do on Fiverr, just go to bit.ly/GOPJoshFiverr today to get your gig or to put your gig on Fiverr and help support the program as well. That is bit.ly/GOPJOSH Fiverr, FIVERR.
This is The Conservative Crusader.
Welcome back. This is The Conservative Crusader, GOPJosh.com. Hope you all are enjoying the program. Now is our little block of promotion. If you want to support the program for as little as $3 a month, you can do that by going to patreon.com/GOPJosh. Patreon is a very easy and affordable way for less than a cup of coffee. You can support the show for a month with as little as $3 over at patreon.com/GOPJosh. Keeping the voice of young conservatism on the airwaves is not cheap, and your support over on Patreon would help with that. Also, if you're a big fan of, you know, translation, logo design, services, whatever you might need, any sort of service or well, not any kind, but a lot of the services you can think of, you will find over on Fiverr, which is the world's largest marketplace and offers both buyers and sellers a digitally streamlined transactional platform. So if you want to find that, go to fiverr.gopjosh.com. That's fiverr.gopjosh.com. You can do that and subscribe. We have a few different tiers on Patreon, and then we have the Fiverr where you can get a service out of your support and also support us. And it doesn't charge you anything extra. Fiverr gives us the kickback for sending you over there, and the prices for you are the same. So fiverr.gopjosh.com, fiverr.gopjosh.com. Our patreon.com/GOPJosh phone line is 574-675-6747. That's 57-GOP-JOSH-7. And that is the way you can listen in and call in and leave your thoughts. It's a voicemail line open 24/7. That's 57-GOP-JOSH-7. Also on X Spaces, we're live. If you want to call in via X Spaces, request to speak, and we'll bring you up on the floor. But until then, Ron DeSantis is out of the presidential race. I wish I had the music cued thinking of it now, because it's really a celebration moment. And we might have it on the deck. It really is a celebration moment today when Ron DeSantis is dropping out. As he should have done from the moment he got in the race. Should have never gotten in the race. Dropping out the same way he got in, with a terrible, misrepresented video or post on X, Twitter. Ron DeSantis is out of the presidential race. Not that he ever was in it. He posted a 4-minute video on X Spaces. In the post itself, had a quote from Churchill. So we're going to drop this music out now. We don't really need it. We celebrated enough. Because this is just too funny to get into. So the Ron DeSantis campaign announced he was going to run by this giant Twitter space with Elon Musk, and it failed. I mean, the Twitter space literally crashed. I mean, it was terrible. So it's pretty hilarious there. And then he gets out of the race by posting a video on X Spaces, where he says, "Success is not final, failure is not fatal, is the courage to continue that counts." Not sure if we have the
greetings
clip.
From Florida, all site in Iowa, to making their first snowman in New Hampshire. They are one of the reasons
that's
we fight so hard for what we believe in. Winston Churchill once remarked that success is not final, failure is not fatal, it is the courage to continue that counts. Well, this can't.
Community Notes, which I am a Community Notes authorizer or user here, which is very cool, pretty cool actually. There's no proof that Winston Churchill ever said these words. The International Churchill Society wrote that the quote is commonly misattributed as to the former British Prime Minister. The project at Hillsdale College included the phrase as one of the several fabricated Churchill quotes. A spokesperson for DeSantis did not immediately respond to Quest to comment. Churchill was an incredible wordsmith and forged so many memorable phrases over a long career, but he's also probably had as many invented quotes attached to him as he created himself. However you frame it, Governor DeSantis made his final bow with a blooper. Going in the race as the underdog because you waited so long to get in. Going to the point that you have to launch on Twitter Spaces instead of doing an actual rally like anyone else would have. and then you say a fake quote when you quit. I mean, you go into the Twitter space, crash the app of Twitter, and it wasn't even, to be frank, it was not Ron that crashed Twitter. It was Elon Musk who joined in the space as the big announcement that crashed Twitter. It was not, DeSantis had no more impact than I would have joining a Twitter space, if we're being frank here. But it dropped out the space, and then he ends the campaign with nothing, with just a fake quote that we should all know is just, it's hilarious to me, honestly. And he got out just as he got in on Twitter without an actual event. He couldn't face the voters of New Hampshire, which is crazy. He's been, he was polling at 3% in New Hampshire the entire time. He could not face the voters in New Hampshire to save his life. He was polling higher in South Carolina than Nikki Haley. He was polling second in South Carolina. I kind of wanted to see him stick along just to see him lose South Carolina, just so Nikki Haley could get third in South Carolina. Yeah, so that's kind of funny anyway. So let's talk about this Arizona GOP chair, shall we? And we got a caller that's requested. We're going to bring you up at the top of the next segment here because we are running out of time. The Arizona GOP chair has resigned. Let's play part of this clip here. I'm not going to play the whole 10 minutes because that's a little crazy. We're going to play a little bit of it here, clipped by Benny Johnson.
Is there a number at which
I can be bought?
I would provide context, but I think the clip has plenty of context.
What it's about.
You can take a pause for a couple years.
No.
And then go right back to what you're doing. Mm-mm.
No. 10 million, 20 million, 30, no, no, no. A billion, no. This is not about money. This is about our country. I think it's disturbing that they would even, that anybody would think this is.
No, to be fair, even me, I'll say this. I want a fresh face right now for the reason that I've never seen anyone, I can't think of a single person in a federal race who lost, ran in and won. I can't think of it. If you can think of it, let me know.
I am not going to let these people who hate our country tell me not to run. You should call them and tell them to get behind me.
She was sabotaged from the beginning. Just to be clear, I mean, she was from the get-go when she announced her campaign. The Republican Party and the liberals alike did everything they could to take her down. And now the chairman of the Arizona GOP is telling her to get out of the race because, well, we need a fresh face because you can't win. You can win if she can win if you're behind her. If you as a party do your job and get behind your presumptive nominee, as the national RNC should be doing for President Trump, we would be in a different situation right now, and she would probably be the governor of Arizona, but she was never backed by the party, and I honestly think she won her election, but that's for another day. She was not backed by the party. The party would not back her, get behind the people supporting her under any circumstance. They did everything they could to take her down, acting like leftists, to be honest. And so now they're trying to get her out of the race. Well, the chairman of the Arizona GOP has resigned. So he said in this statement, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's just obnoxious and he's just deflecting. And we're going to have to take this after the break, I suspect. He said in this statement here, as soon as it decides to load here. So he writes this statement blaming Carrie Lake for him getting out of the chairmanship position. When honestly, he shouldn't have just said these stupid words, said the whole thing was misinterpreted, said, well, she's recording private conversations and she's too close to President Trump to be recording private conversations. Like there's no conversation private in politics. So he pretty much said the clip was edited. There's a whole 10-minute clip out, not edited. She has a massive megaphone that he cannot compete with. He is just a business and financial guy that got recruited to this unpaid role that demands the amount of time of roughly 2 full-time jobs, nights, weekends, holidays, and more are all work days. My motivation for accepting this position was that I wanted to contribute positively, with the primary focus being the betterment of Arizona and our nation through the election of competent individuals. So since our conversation where I advised Lake to postpone her campaign and aim for the governor's position in 2 years, she's been on a mission to destroy me. I said things I regret, but I realized when hearing Lake's recording that I was set up. So you tell her to drop out, you're set up. Back when we return, you're listening to The Conservative Crusader, GOPJosh.com.
You're listening to The Conservative Crusader. This is The Conservative Crusader.
Welcome back. You're listening to the voice of the future, GOPJosh.com. We were talking about Carrie Lake and her whole situation with the Arizona GOP, but we have a caller on the line, Cody, who wants to talk about Ron DeSantis from the state of Florida. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. So what do you want to say about Ron?
Well, you made a comment that he was afraid to go into New Hampshire because he knew how badly he was down in the polls. And I think that was a smart move, because if he made it into Super Tuesday and into the primary for Florida, that it was just going to be very embarrassing for him to lose in a landslide in the state that he currently governs. Well, I should say part-time governs.
He's a part-time governor, but it's absolutely right. And we were both talking about this during the break. We don't really have a competent Nikki Haley that would get out before South Carolina. I honestly expected the people behind her would be like, hey, you don't want to get crushed in your home state. That crushes any other opportunity you'll ever have. But I don't think she feels the same way.
No, I don't think so either. You know, it's saying something when the senators of your state are supporting Donald Trump over you, especially when one of them was appointed by her, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. So that's just embarrassing. So I don't see the logic behind her staying in the race, except for maybe she's being influenced by her financiers, you know?
Yeah, they're doing everything they can to just try to get Trump out. I mean, the 75% of her voters didn't identify as Republicans that voted for her in New Hampshire. So she's just propped up by the establishment to try to get Trump out of there. I appreciate your call, Cody. Shout out your X page. I'll give you a follow back. And where can people find you on X?
I appreciate it. Yeah, my handle is Lawnchair. It's kind of a play on words for my Polish last name. So you can see me there.
There's two R's on the end there, so give him a follow. Appreciate you very well. Hope you enjoy. You said you're out there fishing. Hope you're enjoying that.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, Justin. Thanks, and have a good night.
You too. Thank you. And absolutely right. I mean, Ron is just, he's so afraid of getting crushed, so afraid of being embarrassed in his home state. But New Hampshire, I mean, he's polling lower than her in New Hampshire even, so... And he just had no shot, and he had a no shot from the point he got in. Had he got in when he was popular, if he would have got in the day after the 2020 or the January 6, 2021, when he was polling 30 points higher than Trump, he might have had a campaign, might have had something to do with it, but he didn't do that, and he just completely failed. And it's so good to see him out of there. So back to this story with Carrie Lake, who I'm a fan of. I've had the chance to meet her twice now. Once when I was in Bedminster, and then once when she came to Ohio for Bernie Marino's campaign before she announced her, I believe that was before she announced her senatorial campaign. And it was trying to get issue one and everything like that passed. She came and helped supported that movement as well. She has been a strong fighter. I genuinely believe she won her election, and I believe she will win her her senatorial election if she runs and wins in that race as well. And the fact that the GOP is trying to take her down by bribing her. I mean, we'll play the cut again for those just joining us. Listen to this.
Is there a number at which...
I can be bought.
Not be bought.
That's what it's about.
You can take a pause for a couple of years.
No.
And then go right back to what you're doing.
No. 10 million, 20 million, 30... No, no. No. A billion? No. This is not about money. This is about our country. I think it's disturbing that they would even... that anybody would think this is...
No, to be fair, even me, I'll say this. I want a fresh face right now for the reason that I've never seen anyone... I can't think of a single person in a federal race who lost, ran in and won. Can't think of it. If you can think of it, let me know.
I am not going to let these people who hate our country tell me not to run. You should call them and tell them to get behind me.
And if we had a united Republican Party in Arizona that was united behind Carrie Lake, united behind Aid Hamade, united behind President Trump, we would have a win in Arizona. And you have people like Tyler Bauer over there, who is the RNC committeeman from Arizona, big with Turning Point Action. You have people actually trying to unite the party behind the nominee. No one else in that race is going to be the nominee. I don't even know any of the other candidates' names, let alone them having a chance at beating Carrie Lake, who is one of the most popular figures nationally, let alone in Arizona. She's the rightful governor. She should be governor. And I prefer she be governor than in the Senate, because I think she'd be a strong executive. And had she been governor, an elected governor, I would have been advocating for her for vice president. But they took her down from inside, and that's a problem. And so this guy dropped out, or he resigned. He said that he doesn't have a megaphone to account for what Carrie Lake can put out, and that it's all misleading and this and that. Listen, if you have on tape you saying something stupid, that's not misleading. That's just you being caught in a bad moment, and you don't want to take that responsibility for that. There's a difference there. And he had a NASA lapel pin on in this photo, so I'm not sure if he works with NASA or what, but hopefully he goes back to that and stays out of politics, because he doesn't seem like our type of guy. Also, really quick before we get into Hawaii, this is an Ohio story. So audio got leaked to me that I was able to put out about Frank LaRose, who's running for we'll save this for the Ohio segment, now that I'm thinking about it. I finally got the audio. We're gonna save this for the Ohio segment. But, you know, it's gonna be fiery. So Hawaii Democrats are trying to keep Trump off the ballot. Crazy thing. Trump's not gonna win Hawaii. Believe it or not. Even if Tulsi Gabbard's on the ballot, he's not gonna win Hawaii. But they're going to do it anyway, just to get their name in the news. At this point, it's in front of the Supreme Court. There's amicus briefs filed everywhere. Ohioan Melina Siebert, running for the 12th District, she filed an amicus brief. The New York Young Republicans Club filed an amicus brief about this. It's going to be a fight in front of the Supreme Court. So if you're a state-level official trying to take Trump off the ballot at this point, and we think that you're supposed to be relevant or being serious in any way, just stop it. I mean, seriously, I honestly thought political theater was a lot when it was, you know, I don't know, the impeachments. But now trying to take someone off the ballot because, oh, he said mean things and he incited an insurrection that wasn't actually an insurrection. Just stop it. Give it up. You're such a loser. I'm just tired of it. I don't know. I don't even have a lot to say about that. I've talked about this story a million times because it's so many different states. It's Colorado and it's I don't know, Maine, and now it's Hawaii, and all the states want to take Trump down, but they can't do anything to actually prove why he should be taken down. No one has been charged with an insurrectionist with insurrection that participated in January 6th. Not a single person. So why are we trying to advocate for changing it now? And saying that he has now, when he just hasn't. He just hasn't done it. So when we return, we're going to talk about the overrun of House Bill 68 in Ohio. Also, the other override that happened today. Also, the GOP Senate debate. And also, some leaked audio from Frank LaRose's campaign. Stay tuned, friends. You are not going to want to miss this. GOPJosh.com. GOPJosh.com.
You're listening to The Conservative Crusader.
Hey everyone, it's GOP Josh. We can only keep the Conservative Crusader podcast or program that you're listening to right now on the air with your support. We have recently launched a Patreon program where you can support us here at Red Future Radio for as little as $3 a month. You can find that at patreon.com/GOP Josh. You can also support the program at anchor.fm/TheConservativeCrusader for as much or as little as you'd like to give. This program will remain free and financial support is not required or expected, but anything to keep us on the air helps. Thank you, folks. And now, back to the Conservative Crusader. Welcome back. The Ohio Senate today overrid the veto of House Bill 68. Which bans what they call gender-affirming care for minors and local tobacco ban separate bill. So this is from the Ohio Capital Journal, and all those who follow the Ohio segment, follow this program closely, know the Ohio Capital Journal is just a bunch of goofy liberal nonsense that they pack into a news website that they try to claim is news. So when I read this, and I'm going to read part of it, it's going to sound like I'm reading it from a left-wing perspective. That's because this is a left-wing perspective, because it's fun when they're crying and they're laughing and they're crying and they're whining and they're everything about this. It's really fun to just laugh at them. So we're going to do it. We're going to do that. You know, we're taking the victory lap. The Ohio Senate voted to override two of Governor Mike DeWine's vetoes Wednesday, one on a bill blocking gender-affirming care for trans youth, and the other blocking cities from banning flavored tobacco sales. Both laws are now set to take effect at the end of April. Voted 24-8 to override the veto of 68, which blocks gender-affirming care for trans youth and prevents transgender athletes from playing women's sports. Oh no, guys, we can't let men play with women. What are we going to do? The bill prohibits transgender youth from starting hormone therapy and puberty blockers. DeWine said parents should make those decisions, not the government, but they were willing to shut down the schools and not let parents make that decision. Funny how that works when you're a leftist. It will be a win for big tobacco and a loss for Ohio, which is the other override that happened. A 3/5 majority vote from the members of the House and Senate is necessary to override the veto. They're going to be taking place in 90 days. So we have a clip here. I didn't actually vet this clip, so I hope there's not any explicit language. If there is, we'll cut it for radio. This is from The Rooster, of what happened on the House floor during a speech talking about House Bill 68, where he actually got interrupted by a protester.
This would be here on their side
Let's
today. Jesus loves the little children of the world. People, these are all the loving children. We need to support them. Please do not overturn this veto.
Let's go.
Jesus loves every child, no matter what their sexual identity is. And you cannot take it away from parents and medical professionals.
I wonder how many abortions she's had. Anyway, that's the best they have, is just yelling, because that's going to do something, and no one changed their vote because of it. Really funny story, a photo here. For those who really follow Ohio politics, and this story linked in the show notes below, you have the journalists just standing there as they're getting this one crazy whack job's getting pulled out. DeWine said the veto was about protecting human life, which just isn't true. Gary Click is a state representative backing it, friend of the show, not friend of mine. You're not born that way, Click says about trans people during a sermon. God's not going to curse you in the wrong body. He's not going to curse you with desires that cannot be adequately and appropriately and biologically filled correctly. Rare W. This is the only thing that he ever works on, but you know, I'm glad he actually got it done. The SAFE Act and Save Women's Sports Act are the civil rights issues of our day. Fact check true. So the original House Bill 6 prevented trans athletes from playing Ohio women's sports, rolled into House Bill 68 during the summer. They were combined. A state senator said that they actually liked part of this, a Democrat, but didn't vote for it altogether. 23 states have passed similar laws, according to ESPN, because that's a top source of transgender issues. All right, next story. We're going to save the Ohio debate, maybe for Friday. I want to play this cut here from Frank LaRose at an event, undescribed event, undisclosed event. Let's play the cut.
I don't have the money to, you know, do some of the flashy stuff like paying social media influencers that some of my other opponents have done. You all know not to be fooled by this. Anybody that has more than 10,000 followers on social media is probably being paid for the nice things they're saying about candidates. This is a business model for me. So I'm not paying people on Twitter to say nice things about me, because that's not a smart use of money, and I don't think it's very honest to begin with.
So here's Frank LaRose, candidate for U.S. Senate, Secretary of State, self-proclaimed thousandaire that lives in a 2,800-square-foot home with 5 beds, 3.5 baths, it's worth $800,000, saying that he doesn't think it's a good use of money to pay people on social media to back your candidacy. Now, I don't know about other people, but he specifically mentioned, where do we have it?
Fooled by this. Anybody that has more than 10,000 followers on social media is probably being paid for the nice things they're saying about candidates.
So I'm not sure what bone myself or some of my social media colleagues must have struck of Frank LaRose's, but I'm not being paid to back any candidate. I have never once taken a dime from a campaign. outside of work I've actually done for that campaign, which was 2020. That's the only dime I've taken from a campaign since I've been in politics. Everything else I either do for free or I just have fun with it. You know, like this program, I don't pay for interviews. I don't ask for money to come on the show, any of that stuff. So I'm not sure why Frank decided to go after the influencers that are backing people he disagrees with. But it's not going to work. And this is a seriously desperate campaign. And I'm not going to say I'm going to take this as a personal attack or anything. But I know Frank has been not very happy that people like me are backing Bernie Moreno, that the teenage Republicans are backing Bernie Moreno, that actual Ohioans are backing Bernie Moreno. But we're not going to let that stop us. We're not going to let that hinder it. And yes, I went to his campaign watch party. It was a lot of fun. And I made phone calls on his behalf because I'm a fan of his and I appreciate what he's going to do for our state when he becomes our senator. But that's not paid. They gave me some pieces of Donato's pizza, which wasn't that great, if I'm being honest. Too sweet a sauce. So I'm not going to consider that a legitimate attack when that's the only thing you have as your campaign. But you're seriously desperate if you're talking about how other people are garnering support online. It's no different than putting money into social media advertisements to have influencers backing you. You're just mad you don't have influencers backing you. I mean, if Frank had the opportunity to get the coveted GOP Josh, and that sounds egotistical, I'm just being kind of funny here, the coveted GOP Josh endorsement, you don't think he'd take it? I wouldn't charge him a dime for it if he was actually a good candidate. And we saw with that debate how he was not a good candidate. He was polling 15% in the Nextar poll. Do I still have that link? Oh, I did not save that email. I don't have the Nextar poll, but last I looked, it was like 54 to 36 for Dolan to 15% for LaRose. Just a joke of a guy. But it was really a debate between Bernie and Frank where they kind of hashed it out. And Dolan looked drunk as always. He was like slobbering at the bit as always to say whatever he could to take away from Republican values. LaRose said he's willing to shut down the government. I don't really think that's that big of a deal because he never actually would. That's the big part of it. And it's just it's a joke of a campaign that we're even having here. Bernie Moreno is endorsed by every county party that's endorsed. He's endorsed by President Trump. He's endorsed by the Teenage Republicans of Ohio. He's endorsed by so many national figures, Carrie Lake, Jim Jordan, Warren Davidson, Marco Rubio, J.D. Vance. He's endorsed by all these people. Frank has zero national endorsements that are very few that I'm aware of. Matt Dolan has zero or very few national endorsements that I'm aware of. Zero endorsements by President Trump in the last year for anything. But he has, you know, he has Bonnie Ward, who is a state central committee member. Because, yeah, that's going to be comparable. Yeah, it's hilarious when you see the two campaigns here who are backing who. Like, hey, a fiscal officer is backing my campaign. Yeah, we have the president. I respect offices that people hold. But come on. This isn't even a serious campaign at this point. It's not a serious discussion we're having about a serious campaign. And we're backing Bernie Moreno. Republicans are backing Bernie Moreno because I don't want to get drafted to fight for Ukraine or to fight for Israel. I'm backing Bernie Moreno because he's the best candidate in the race, not because I'm being paid to. Trust me, if I wanted to get paid to back a candidate, I'd be making bank. But I don't. And I don't want money for that. It's my first time casting a ballot, and I wanted to make sure it's for a person that I actually support and that actually supports the values of myself and my future generation. All of these things I'm not seeing from the LaRose campaign in any way. So we'll see where that goes, but that's about all the time we have for today. And if you are a LaRose fan and you don't like what I talk about, feel free to call in. The number is 57-GOP-JOSH-7. That's 574-675-6747. 57-GOP-JOSH-7. That's going to wrap it up for our program tonight, however, folks. So if you enjoyed, make sure you rate 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Check out everywhere you can listen to the show, gopjosh.com/show. Support us on Fiverr, fiverr.gopjosh.com. Go to Apple Podcasts, apple.gopjosh.com, spotify.gopjosh.com, iheart.gopjosh.com, all the places. Follow me on social media, all that fun stuff, and we will return with you on Friday. Have a great weekend, or great evening, folks. See you all very soon.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader.